Morning. By the way, this is my first time preaching or teaching, just so that you give me a bit of grace. Extra grace for me. Thank you. Okay, so this morning we're going to look at a song sung by Zechariah in the beginning of Luke. And just before Audrey's going to come and read the song, we're going to go into the story more, but to give you a brief outline, Zechariah was a priest, and he was married to Elizabeth. And they were both, I don't know what age they were, but getting old, and they hadn't had any children because Elizabeth was barren. And they had really served God with their whole lives, and Zechariah went to the temple. And when he was in there, an angel came and spoke to him and said that they would have a son and that they would call him John. But Zechariah questioned the angel. He just couldn't quite believe, and God then struck him dumb. He couldn't speak until his son was born and Zechariah wrote, his name will be John. And at that point, he got his voice back. He was given it back by God. And this is the song that he then sung. It's on page 970, Luke 1, 67 to 80.
Sorry. Zechariah's song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophecy. Praise be to the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has risen up horns of salvation for us in the house of the servants David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from the enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant and oaths he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hands of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most Highest, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of the God by which the risen Son will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadows of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. And the children grew and became strong in spirit and believed in wildness until he appeared publicly in Israel.
Thank you. Careful with the one. Shall I give you that one? Okay, so Luke starts this story that is essentially all about Jesus. But he starts it with God speaking to Zechariah through an angel. God had not spoken to his people, as far as we know, for 400 years. The last time that he spoke was in Malachi. And you don't have to, but if you want to, open your Bible on page 909. It's right at the end, the last bit of the Old Testament, Malachi. And it's in chapter 4, verse 5. So this is the last thing that God leaves his people with, is what he says is, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day that the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. And then, 400 years later, nothing we know between, the angel comes to Zechariah, who's a priest, and he would have known the Old Testament, and he speaks these living words again about the son that Zechariah will have called John. And he says that John will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So at the moment it looks a little bit foggy, but actually it's really important to remember that everything we're reading, everything that Luke writes, everything in the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. God spoke 400 years ago, and then the first thing he says since then was to get his people ready for his son to come. It's almost a bit like Superman, isn't it? It's sort of a being, a human with extra powers that's not like us, coming to be amongst us. And sometimes it can be easy to read the Gospels and think that, yes, Jesus was a really great man, and he was really wise, and he had this amazing access to God. And we can sometimes forget that this man is God. He is totally human, like us, and he lived on earth, like us, and he shared the same pains and burdens that we do. And we can look at him and think, gosh, what would he do in this situation? And what can I learn from him? But this passage also reminds us that he is also God. He is God among us. God didn't just throw him out there and think, oh, I hope someone notices my son wandering around the earth. He actually made a way. He prepared a way for his son to come, for his son to be with us, and for us to meet with God himself in a way never experienced or known before. And what did God say to prepare us? He spoke throughout the Old Testament again and again about our Savior coming. And here in Malachi, he specifically prepares us first for John the Baptist, with the purpose, he says, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and children to their fathers. Why? Why is this relevant? Like, what does God mean by this? What was John the Baptist's purpose? To prepare the way for Christ. And what was Christ's purpose? To restore our relationship with our Father in heaven. That's why he came. And why did he die? Because each of us makes such a mess of our own lives that we cannot come into that relationship with God on our own. He is perfect, and we are a mess. Jesus died and took all the dirt and the mess, and he took it away so that we can be made new, and we can come to God as perfect and as righteous because of Christ. And this isn't just a restoration of a human being and God. This is the extraordinary reuniting of a child with their father. I'm not a parent, but for those of you who are, you know, it's pretty extraordinary that first time a child can know their father really intimately. And yes, I have a mum and a dad, and my mum gave birth to me. But actually, my number one father is my Father in heaven. Don't tell my dad I said that. God knew, and he created me, and he has plans for my life. But he knew me before my parents even knew they would have a baby, let alone before they knew they were pregnant. And I spent a long time believing that I was made up of my mum and my dad, and then later I met God. I'm trying to be more like him and get to know him, and my identity is, you know, growing in that. But God has spent a long time showing me that first and above every other part of my identity, I am a child of God. I am God's daughter. You are God's daughter. You are God's son. That's who you are above everything else. God cares about our relationship with our earthly father because he knows it can affect us and it can form us. And this can then affect our relationship with him, our Heavenly Father, and this is what he really cares about. If my dad sometimes made me feel maybe I wasn't good enough at something, it's easy to think maybe I'm not good enough for God. How can God really love me? I may look at myself and think, I don't do enough good things, not like them. Maybe I hurt people. Maybe I took drugs. Maybe I actually hate my neighbors. Maybe I don't like reading the Bible that much. Maybe I'm just not good enough, and I don't deserve to be loved. And so I try and earn God's love, or I just refuse to receive it. And yet, God loves me, and yet he loves each of us, no matter what. You are his beloved child, and his love never changes. He actually cannot stop loving you. Brilliant. His love is totally unconditional. You cannot earn it and you cannot stop it. And we read the Bible and we see that he does ask of us things like to obey him and to love our enemies, to pray, to worship him, to ask him for forgiveness and repent and receive that. But these are not conditions so we can be loved by him. They are responses by us to him. They are ways we can know him more. They are ways we can be made whole, that we can be set free, that we're actually saved and that we're forgiven. And we worship and we humble ourselves and come before him. And these are all acts done as a child to a father in love. That's what he cares about, is our heart as a child to a father when we do these things. Not the things just in themselves. And they are not the reason why we are loved. God spoke to Zechariah of his plan, of John the Baptist, of his role to make a way for the true restorer of children to their fathers and fathers to their children. And this is Jesus. Christ made a way for me and for you back to our first father. Are you restored to your Father in heaven? I'm not asking if you've done enough good things. I am asking, do you truly believe that God right now loves you just as you are? I may be a mess, and I know it, but that is why he sent his son, Jesus, to die for me, to bring me back to him. He made the first move, not you. He made the way, not you. He loves you today as you are, with all your dirt and with all your issues. Are you willing to be loved not because you're good enough, but because you are his child and he can't help it? Can you come and to that place and receive his love? It's actually really hard. And yet it's so simple that we kind of think it can't be that true. I'm just going to have a two or three minutes now, when if you want to talk to the person next to you, or two, three, or whatever, and just talk about that. Why, when God says, I have free and unconditional love for you, why we, as people, why personally, or as a religion, or whatever, why do we find it hard to receive love that is free? Be one word answer, can be a million big essay, but then we're gonna have a quick feedback. No. Okay, gonna bring it back. Just two or three people. Does anyone want to just share something that they said or heard from their other person? You're all talking. Yeah, it's kind of saying there's always a catch and nothing normally comes free. Zechariah's song, and it's also a prophecy, sings of God's extraordinary plan to bring salvation to his people. And Zechariah knows that he has a part in this. Zechariah clearly loved God and obeyed God and had given his whole life to God. His wife Elizabeth was barren. She was unable to have children. And God hadn't spoken for 400 years. And yet Zechariah was faithful to God. I know in my own life that there are particular areas that, yes, I do feel disappointed in, and my hopes haven't come true. And yet I do believe that God's love is, for me, is great, and his faithfulness endures forever. It doesn't always feel good. And to be honest, it makes me question him at times. It can affect how I pray. It can affect how I worship. And even though I know he has a plan, it can make me feel quite lost on that. I'm 35, and I would love to be married, and I would love to have children. And I don't understand why this is part of God's plan that I have neither. And I am sure that Zechariah and Elizabeth did not understand why the God they loved and they served had not given them children. However, God had a greater plan than theirs. It was to be in his timing. When God spoke to Zechariah through an angel, actually, Zechariah's reaction was not one of just a faithful servant, but maybe of a man a bit disillusioned. And he said, well, how can I be sure of this? I like to think if an angel visited me, let alone spoke to me, I would just be like, yes, whatever, I believe you, whatever you say. But here, Zechariah, who'd been waiting, you know, for a savior, for God to speak, and he didn't have that faith that we all like to think we do. And we see the truth of our hearts when God asks us to really trust him, to step out of the faith that we probably see is just enough. And he asks us more of us than we actually think we can do. Zechariah was struck dumb because he did not believe the words of the angel in his heart. He had acted blamelessly his whole life, following God's commands. He was even upright in the sight of God, the Bible tells us. And yet, a part of him could not believe that this was the plan and that he was to be a part of it. It was just too much for him. And over time, Zechariah did see God's faithfulness as the baby grew inside his wife's womb. And he became soft again in God's hands, realizing that God was doing something truly extraordinary and truly beautiful and beyond man's understanding. Zechariah gave over. He became soft clay again, ready to be molded by God. And then his son was born. Now, to follow tradition, his family said, you can't call this baby John. It just isn't a family name. But Zechariah was not going to fight God anymore. And he said, yes, God, whatever you want, whatever you have planned is best. And wrote down, his name is John. And in these few words, he was saying to God, you are more important than my family and my culture and my tradition. And I bow down to you above everyone, even myself. And as he did this, he was humbled. As he humbled himself completely, his voice was given back to him. And he was filled by the Holy Spirit and prophesied the song that we heard Audrey beautifully read. And this is a song of celebration of who God is, that he has made a way for his people to come back to him. And even though, yes, we are stubborn and we are undeserving, he is willing to save us. What God did in giving a barren woman a son was to prepare the way for a virgin to give birth to God's own son. He used the weak to shame the wise. God spoke promises over his people, and his promises became true. They became flesh and are still true for us today. God found a way to restore the ultimate relationship of father and child, and child with father, through his son Jesus Christ. He found a way of once and for all showing us his unconditional love as our father, that no one deserves, through Christ coming and dying for us on the cross. He gave his son for each one of us. And this is a song of praise to God, looking back at times of pain and confusion, but also of where God has come into that and he has fulfilled his promises. And it's also a song of looking forward to God's promises in hope. And that hope is in Jesus. And this is for Sally Dixon, who's not here, who always asks them, what does that mean for now? So I'm like, well, what if we do if we don't have that hope? What do we do? That's what I think. We go back to the beginning and we ask God, why? Why do you love me when I don't deserve it? Who am I and where do I fit in this whole thing? And God says, because you are my son, because you are my daughter, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. And in Luke 3, verse 22, he spoke these words over Jesus, his son, when he was baptized. And this was before Jesus had done anything. No miracles, no teaching, nothing. God just loved him because he was his child. And you can come before God now and do nothing, but let him show you his love and receive it, with no justification but Christ. And it is only because of Christ that we can do this, receive this free love. God has made a way for us. And just in that attitude of receiving, we're just going to listen to one song. And in it, just remembering by listening, we're not even going to sing, there's nothing we can bring to make God love us more or that will make him love us less. And this is totally up to you, and some people might not want to do this, but it's really easy to be distracted. So if you do want to close your eyes just to listen, do. And if in an attitude of receiving, if you do want to put out your hands just to receive from God, do. There's no pressure to at all, but it's, yeah, it can be quite helpful.